we started the first story, the first Christmas. And who did we start with? We had three people that we talked about last week. We talked about Zechariah, we talked about Elizabeth, and we talked about the baby that Elizabeth was going to have, John the Baptist. And John the Baptist came into the world with the message that we are to say, repent, I'm sorry, God, and prepare our hearts for the coming of Jesus. So that's why we put on the tree the things that we are sorry for. Some of us, like myself, we have a whole list of things that we need to be sorry for. And so on mine, I think this is mine, I wrote, I'm sorry, God. So we said last week, we're sorry. That was the message of the baby we talked about last week. This week, we've got three different characters and we've got a different message. So this week, in Luke, the passage that we're looking at, thank you. In Luke, we've got these three characters. And can anyone guess who they might be? I've got hearing aids. I still can't hear you. Mary, Joseph, and Jesus. Right. So they're the next three. So if you're looking in the Bible, you come through the first part of Elizabeth having John the Baptist, and then now we move to Mary and Joseph having Jesus. Now there's some similarities. There's things that are the same, but there are things that are very different. So Luke tells us a lot about Mary. In the sixth month, God sent the angel Gabriel. Now, this angel Gabriel is exactly the same angel that went to Zechariah in the temple last week and said that he and his wife Elizabeth were going to have a baby. These senior citizens, these old people, these people over 60, beyond menopause, were going to have a baby. The same, very same angel is the one that appears here. So, in the sixth month, God sent the angel Gabriel to Nazareth, to a town in Galilee. A virgin pledged to be married to a man named Joseph, a descendant of David, and that virgin's name was Mary. So a virgin is somebody who hasn't had personal, intimate relationships with a man. She hasn't had sex. So how can she become pregnant? The angel that was sent said the same message to Mary. You are going to give birth to a son. Elizabeth, Zechariah was chosen and told, you are going to give birth to a son. Mary is told, you are to give birth to a son. And Gabriel declares himself and says, I am in the presence of God telling you this message. So in a sense, it is true. Now when Mary's told this, Elizabeth is about 6 months pregnant. So she hasn't had the baby yet. So if Elizabeth is 6 months pregnant and Mary's becoming pregnant, those two babies will be similar in age. They will grow up together, one being a little, only by months, older than the other. So Mary, what do we know about Mary? Okay, we know that she lived in Nazareth. We know that she was a virgin, that she hadn't had personal relationships with a man. We know that she was engaged. Now, not engaged like we get engaged. A bit like betrothed is the word in the Bible, promised to. So Mary is promised to Joseph. So she knows that her and Joseph will get married and be together. So she's committed and Joseph is committed to her. Now, normally this happens when they're about 12. It happens at the time when they start to menstruate. So when they start to have their period, the age of around 12, that's when they get promised, because that's when they are able to bear children. They get promised and then they wait 12 months before they get married. So they have this 12 months period where they just go on about their normal business, knowing that this is the person that I'm going to marry. They'd wait that full year. So Mary is very young. You think of a 12-year-old. This is how old Mary was when she is told that she's going to have a baby. How can that be? Mary says. Now, Mary and Joseph, you know how we talked last week about Zechariah and Elizabeth coming from the Levi tribe and so being highly respected? Well, these two, we know that they have come from David. Mary is a descendant of David, and David was a really powerful, wise king at the time, and she's in the line of David. And we find in the Bible, in the early stages, where we're told that the baby will be born into the line of David. So here's Mary, she's chosen, she's on the line of David to become pregnant. Now there's some discrepancy about Joseph, about where he came from. But we don't really know. So he may be from the same line, but the important thing is the one who was chosen to bear the son is from the line of David and chosen by God to bear God's son, Jesus. So two old people, they have a baby. And now to Mary and Joseph, who haven't had sex, Mary's going to have a baby. Mary, because of the strength of her faith, she doesn't say, God, what's wrong with you? Or to the angel, you must be a bit cuckoo, because how can I have a baby if I've not been with a man? Now, a 12-year-old would probably wonder, what is going on? But Mary doesn't. She knows her faith is strong, and she knows that if God says through the angel, this will happen. The angel went to her and said, greetings, you who are highly favoured, the Lord is with you. Now Mary was greatly troubled and she wondered about this greeting. But the angel said to her, do not be afraid, Mary. You have found favour with God. Gabriel's words were really the sort of words that you'd expect to be said to a princess rather than a peasant girl from Nazareth. You are favoured. You are highly favoured. Do not be afraid. God has found favour with you. She's 12. God has found favour with you. That's amazing. If God said that to me at the age of 12, I too would have been confused, wondering what on earth is going on. But Gabriel comes and says, greetings, you are highly favoured, the Lord is with you. Do not be troubled, confused. Do not be afraid. And Mary listens. She knows with that assurance that God is with her. So whatever's going to take place, that she's not on her own, God is telling her not to be afraid. He would be with her. And then the message goes on, and it says, "You will be with child and give birth to a son, and you are to give him the name Jesus. He will be great and will be called the Son of the Most High. The Lord God will give him the throne of his father David, and he will reign over the house of Jacob forever. His kingdom will never end." What do we know about Mary through this message from the angel? Mary will become pregnant. Mary will give birth to a son. The child is to be called Jesus. The child will become a great person, superior in importance and in position. His title will be Son of the Most High. He will inherit the throne of his father, David, and he will reign forever. And finally, his kingdom will never end. Okay, that's a lot to take in. Mary finds out she's going to be pregnant. She finds out that she's going to be pregnant without having intercourse. The Holy Spirit comes on her, and through the working of God, she becomes pregnant. So that means you've got human Mary, a person just like me. Human. And then you've got God in the form of the Holy Spirit coming upon Mary, and she conceives and becomes pregnant. So Mary's human, but that baby in Mary is part human and part divine, because God is the one that caused Mary to become pregnant. So Jesus then is part human and part divine. And only could that happen because of God choosing to do that. Why would God choose to do that? Why wouldn't he just choose a normal couple and say, yes, you're going to have a child. That child's going to grow up and do amazing things. But no human baby could do what the baby Jesus was called to do, was created to do. Now, when Jesus actually was a lot older, and he was 33 years of age about that time, he actually says, yes, I am part human, part divine, and yes, I am the Son of the Most High. And he declares that. And when he declares that, that in a sense is the catalyst, or is the causing of his crucifixion. Because he is saying that he is God. He is the Messiah. He is the King. He is the chosen one. And for someone to put their hand up and say, that's who I am, they felt very threatened, and so he ended up being crucified on the cross as a result of him declaring who he really was. So in response to Mary, you will be with child, she asks, how can this be? I haven't been with a man. But it happened because we needed it to happen. If I was a human being, a baby born, and I was sent with the commission to die and take the punishment for people, I couldn't do it, because I am a sinner. I do wrong things. But Jesus, the only one who was without sin, could actually take my punishment and die on the cross, can take the things that I've done wrong and take them to the cross. It's a miracle. The birth of Jesus is a miracle. And Mary responds not with unbelief, saying, how can this really get real? Mary's response is one of faith. And almost she's saying is, you know, whatever you want, that is okay. So the Holy Spirit will come upon you and the power of the Most High will overshadow you. Even Elizabeth, your relative, is going to have a child in her old age. And she, who was said to be barren, without child, unable to have children, is in her sixth month. For nothing is impossible for God. So the angel is reassuring Mary by saying, nothing is impossible for God. The purpose of the Holy Spirit coming was so the baby Jesus would be part human, part divine, part human, so that Jesus would know what it's really like for us to live in the world, would know what it's like to be hungry, would know what it's like to be in want, would know what it's like to grieve when someone dies, would know what it's like to be teased and questioned. Jesus knows that. All the things that we experience. That is why the human side of Jesus is really important, because it means he knows and he understands us. And just as importantly is the divine aspects of Jesus. So Luke really stresses this because he wants us to really know that this baby is different. This baby is part from God and part from Mary. Okay, so this is a miracle that has happened. Now, after explaining this, that this baby is God becoming human flesh, becoming real, Mary then learnt the secret that somebody else in her family, Elizabeth, was going to have a baby. So she actually goes and spends time with Elizabeth. And when she gets there, Elizabeth is about 6 months pregnant. And she knows that nothing is impossible for God in her situation, and nothing is impossible with God in Elizabeth's situation. This miracle for her cousin is as real as what the miracle in her is going to be. The virgin birth is impossible for humans, but possible for God. So Mary says, I am the Lord's servant. Here is this teenager facing being rejected because she has to go back to the village. She's visiting Elizabeth, has to go back and say, I'm pregnant. Now, she's only betrothed, she's only promised, they're not married. So humiliation, teasing, and even stoning is a possibility if she goes back and says she's going to have a baby. A baby out of wedlock, a baby before she's married. She's also got to go back and say to Joseph, hey, Joseph, I'm going to have this baby. Now, her faith must be so strong that she doesn't choose to avoid that. She could have just run. She could have gone away, but no, she goes back and she explains what has happened, that she is with child. She knows that God is with her, and this is all happening because of a miracle that God has performed in her. So she's got the strength and the courage, and most of all, the faith to be able to go and say this. She is being obedient to God. I am the Lord's servant. May it be to me as you have said. So here she is with Elizabeth. Now, one of the exciting things about when she meets Elizabeth is that, here's Elizabeth pregnant. Can we have the next third slide? That one, yes. Here's Elizabeth pregnant. And Mary goes up and touches Elizabeth's tummy. You know how you always want to do that with pregnant people? You know, you just want to touch. Well, Elizabeth is pregnant and Mary goes up and touches her tummy. And John the Baptist, the baby in Elizabeth, kicks and jumps for joy because that baby knows that the person who is touching his mother is the one who is going to have the child named Jesus, who is going to... That, to me, is confirmation all round. It's confirmation for Elizabeth that her baby is going to be the forerunner, the one that comes and says, repent. And confirmation for Mary that, yes, she is going to bear the child that will be the one that takes our sin away, the one who takes our punishment that we deserve. The story doesn't end there. Soon after the angel's visit to Mary, yes, she goes and she stays with Elizabeth. And I suspect she stays till the birth of John the Baptist. In a loud voice, Elizabeth, when she's talking to Mary, says, blessed are you among women, and blessed is the child that you will bear. Mary says, but why am I so favoured that the mother of my Lord could come to me, should come to me? And soon as the sound of that greeting reached my ears, the baby in the womb leapt for joy. Blessed is she who has believed that the Lord, what the Lord has said to her, and it will be accomplished. She is blessed. God chose someone with amazing faith to be the mother of the baby Jesus. So Mary spends the time with Elizabeth and then heads back to face the crowds and unknown accusations that might come to her. She has to face her parents, the parents of her fiancé, Joseph, and the leaders at the time. But Mary, because of her strength of character, her faith, and the fact that she has been chosen and blessed by God, is able to do this. She's beyond her years, beyond 12. She's behaving like someone who is really mature in their faith. She doesn't know the future. She doesn't really know how this is going to happen. We know the end of the story. We know about a stable. We know those sorts of things, but Mary at this point of time does not know. But in huge faith, she says, God, whatever you have planned, I am your servant. I will do whatever it is that you want me to do. Now, in a sense, we're God's servant. Are we prepared to say, God, whatever it is you want me to do, I will do. Whatever decision you want me to make, show me what that decision is and I will make it. How you want me to live, show me that and I will live that way. But it doesn't happen like that. We have to accept Jesus as the one that we want to follow and be Lord of our life. Now, the children have placed their lives on the tree. You have your person. I want you to think about whether or not you want to give your life to Jesus, somebody who is part human and part divine, someone who knows what your life is like and what you're putting up with. And someone who is able to help you through that. And someone who is divine, who has amazing ability to forgive, to give peace, and to then create for you a relationship with Jesus, a relationship through the Spirit with God. And that relationship with Jesus is the strength of the faith that, in a sense, Mary had, that we can have. But you don't buy it in the shop. You don't get it when you walk out the door of the church. You get it by saying, Jesus, I want to give you my life. I want to put my life in your hands. I want to be one of your children, and I want to live how you want me to live. So we have to do something with our life. Are you going to take this home, put it in your back pocket, and take it home and say, I'm not ready to give my life to Jesus? Or are you going to put it on the tree and say, Jesus, I give you my life, but not only my life, my all. So that's all my decisions, all that I have, my future, and also the things I've done wrong. I give them to you because I know that you will enable me to live as one of your children, knowing forgiveness and acceptance because of your great love for me. There's a prayer. Dear Lord, my life, my hands, my body, and my all belong to you because I give you my life. I'm going to pray, and I want you to think in your hearts about what it is. If you want Jesus to be the ruler of your life, then after I've prayed, we're going to sing, and during that song, I invite you to come and put yourself as a gift back to God for the amazing gift that he has given us. And if you don't want to do that and you're not ready to do that, take the person home and really think about what it is that you want to do, or who, more importantly, do you want to rule your life? Because if I take this home, what I'm saying is Louise will stay the ruler of your life, the one who makes all your decisions, the human part of your life. Whereas if I put this on the cross, on the tree, I'm saying, no, God, you have my life in your hands and I will follow you. I didn't want to do this, but I'm tempted to do it. If I had a pen, in a sense, symbolically, I'm crossing that off and putting it on the tree. If I take it home, if I'm crossing it off, I'm putting God is the ruler of my life. But if I leave my name there and I take it home, I live without God. I live without forgiveness. I live without the enabling and the blessings of God. And more importantly, as that verse in John 3:16 says, for God so loved the world that he sent his only Son to die, that you might know life forever with Jesus. Can I invite the musos to come? And if you want to come via the tree after I've prayed, then that's great. And I'll then leave it for anyone to come as you feel led and place your stick figure on the tree. So let me pray. Lord, Mary's faith was really strong for a 12-year-old to hear that she was going to give birth to your child. And she accepted that. She knew that you would be with her. She knew that you would help her through whatever was to come. She didn't know the future, but she knew enough, and that was that you would be with her. And Father, for us, our faith at times is not as strong as it is at other times. And we pray that we would have a faith that knows continually that you are with us, that you are the one that helps us. You are the one that is able to forgive. You are the one who is able to give peace. You are the one who is able to care with compassion beyond belief. You are the one who has said, I want you as my child. I want to live in relationship with you. I want you in my life. And Father, I pray that each one of us will take that step and say, Jesus, we want you in our life. We want to follow you. We want you to be the one that enables us to live for you in the way that you would have us live. I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.